RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation, everyone in the kitchen, clear! It's time for Culinary CPR with Chef Luca Paris and yours truly, Dr. Mike. My guest chef on the segment, Chef Luca, amazing guy, celebrity chef, Food Network winner, you know, all this stuff. But unlike so many people on the Food Network, Chef Luca can actually cook. And he cooks really, really well. And he shares these incredible recipes with us each week. And if you want to get the recipe ahead of time so you can try it, you can have it right in front of you before we go to air, I want you to head on over to cardiochef.com. Sign up for our weekly staff meal newsletter. You're going to get information about the show. You're going to get information about health and food. And perhaps most importantly, you're going to get these delicious recipes that you can try, vary, and once you experiment with them and you hear us talk about it and kind of go out and do your own thing, you can enjoy it. You can vary it. You can share it. It is truly, truly food of love. Once again, Chef Luca, thanks so much for being here.
What's up, big guy? I'm so excited once again to be on the show. And we're going to be talking a little bit of that kind of Thai peanutty funness tonight. It's going to be
one of my favorite flavor profiles. And I've got to tell you, you actually hurt me a little bit this week because your recipe for this peanut sauce was so good that my family abandoned mine and yours is now the new favorite.
Well, I'm honored, man. And I got to tell you, I don't venture out of the Mediterranean all that much because that's what I do every day for the restaurant. But when I do, This is one of those things that it's always inspired by Lindy, my wife. When you know, her biggest, most favorite thing in the world is peanut sauce, and she keeps going to these Thai restaurants and finding them. One day I said, "Listen, I can make it for you." And she said, "No way. There's no way you're going to be able to make good peanut sauce." I said, "Trust me." And I played with a couple of different recipes and added a little bit of my own touch, and I really like it. It's pretty cool. And the way we're doing the chicken quote-unquote satay, because I don't want to put them on skewers. I want to put them in lettuce wraps. We're doing that today, really, and using chicken thighs really makes me so happy. So I love this dish. So.
Well, I do, and I think there's lots of talk about in this dish. And one of the things I think is great, too, we always talk about, and you and I know from being in kitchens and or having to run the back of the house, run a kitchen, you know, food cost is something you always have to pay a lot of attention to.
Sure.
And when we buy quality ingredients, you know, that's what one of the things that I try to convey to the folks, you know, when we're out on the road giving talks or demos or stuff is here's how you can do it economically. You know, when you're paying the butcher to cut your chicken for you, you're buying organic chicken breast, you're paying a premium. You're paying for that guy's skill and time, you know, to do that. But if you buy a whole chicken, well, then you can do a lot of things. So when I was playing with this recipe the weekend past, you know, I bought a couple of organic chickens and very simple to break it down. And I use the thighs and the legs in this dish. You know, we saved the breast and then I had some carcass. So I was making chicken stock. Okay, so as soon as you break it down, you make the stock. Now I've got stock for a month. You know, after the chicken comes out of the stock, the carcasses, if you pick the carcasses, you know, I've got a pound of chicken salad. Absolutely incredibly delicious because it's poached. So all these things, you know, really help it make it economical for you to use these high quality ingredients. So why don't you start us off and kind of walk us through the first things that we'll be doing in this recipe.
All right. So it's in three different parts. One, we're going to make the peanut sauce a little bit later, but first we're going to marinate and grill the chicken thighs. I'm a huge fan of chicken thighs. They have, you know, they bring the fat content, they bring the flavor, they hold up well to grilling or searing or whatever. And this is what I do is in a resealable bag, I'm taking Greek yogurt, about a cup, finely freshly grated ginger, about a teaspoon of minced garlic, teaspoon of cumin, teaspoon of dark chili powder, the chicken cut up in strips, taking those chicken thighs, laying them out, cutting them up in strips, boneless and skinless, about a quarter cup of peanut oil that we're going to use for the grilling part. We'll talk about the bib leaves and everything, and then cilantro leaves in a bit. But we take all those first ingredients, the yogurt, the garlic, the cumin, we take the chicken, and we put it in the bag, seal up the bag, refrigerated for up to about 2 hours.
Can you leave it a little bit longer? Because I left mine overnight because I just love this flavor profile.
Now, what's great about this, I don't add any citrus into the marinade really heavy, because once you add the citrus, you're going to start breaking it down.
Right.
And you don't want to do it too much. So up to 24 hours is totally cool. Leave it overnight. Cook it the next day. It just brings on more flavor. It'll help it tenderize. It's absolutely wonderful. I will say this, if you're going for Greek yogurt, get, you know, a good organic Greek yogurt or a local Greek yogurt, something that you know is fresh, and that's really
important. And one other thing to add, get the yogurt, folks, you have to be really careful, because we hear about yogurt's great, it's probiotics, people grabbing these yogurts, and filling their carts as they go around the store, not realizing that a bulk of these processed yogurts, again, to increase shelf life, they're dead. It's dead food. It does not have active cultures. It's been pasteurized. So if you can, get one with active cultures, and it'll say it on the label. It'll say active cultures. And you know what? You've just added probiotics to the meal. You've just kicked it up to make it up even healthier, and it'll have this great flavor.
And I think it's important what type of yogurt, what type of chicken. All these ingredients have to be good ingredients and good for you. So it's
because you can't make chicken satay from chicken. That's not good.
So then we take the chicken after we've marinated it on a grill pan. If you're doing it inside, you could do it outside as well. You grill the chicken 3 to 5 minutes on each side, because they're strips and they're not these big pieces of chicken. They should sear nicely and cook all the way through. You basically, to serve the chicken, it's the grilled chicken, those lettuce leaves, those bib lettuce leaves, and then chopped fresh cilantro on top. And then we get the peanut sauce, which is really going to bring a ton of more flavor to it. And that's the next step. And it's super simple. Anybody who's afraid of making peanut sauces, I got to tell you, you can't ask for an easier sauce. Blender, 3/4 cup of fresh organic peanut butter works really well. It's not quite as sweet or salty as peanut butter if you're buying some of the, the name brands off the shelf. But it still works well. You might need a little bit of more moisture, so you play with the flavor, the profile a little bit about what you're going to add. But it's still a better alternative.
And what I do for folks that do have a juicer, I've got a macerating juicer. I have some juice every day. Is you can use that to make peanut butter.
Exactly.
So you can get some fresh peanuts. Again, you're looking for some nice organic peanuts. And then what I do when I crush the peanuts, and you talked about maybe adding a little bit more moisture. A good sesame oil kind of has that peanutty flavor, so you can kind of get the consistency that you're looking for. You know, whether you're a crunchy or smooth, guy, I'm not getting in that hot political potato there. Taking a side on that cap, whatever you like, you can get either one. But as you say, you can use that to kind of help adjust the consistency, which will affect the consistency of the peanut sauce.
And in a dish like this, if you like a chunky peanut sauce, it's not bad either. It's going to give some extra crunch. What I like to do sometimes, too, is I roast some peanuts on the side and then crush them up and put them over the top for some extra crunch if you're using a creamy peanut butter. So we take the 3/4 cups of fresh peanut butter, 1/4 cup of soy sauce, 2 teaspoons of red chili and garlic sauce. There's many brands out there. 1/4 teaspoon of sriracha or any type of heat sauce you like to bring to the party. 2 tablespoons of dark brown sugar.
So can I tell you what I added? I'm on the fermented. So I used a little bit, and this is for some reason. I think this is one of the foodie hot topic items that's going around. But the Korean gochujang sauce, which is that fermented paste, and it was my goodness.
But it's
so good.
It's a whole another layer of heat. It's not just heat. It's just kind of like a backbone to it that's exciting too, right?
Yeah, I love spice, but I don't see the point of making something so hot that you, that you can't taste it and all you get is heat. I mean, I understand some people love that challenge, and I kind of consider that a food challenge. I don't really consider that creative cooking at all. But the one good thing about that Korean, it's another fermented food.
Right.
So, incorporating these naturally fermented foods, even things that we find, whether it's a, fermented bean paste or the hot and spicy, Korean, hot paste like I use or some of the other ones, is that we're adding flavor, we're adding texture, but we're also boosting ourselves with naturally healthy foods.
and that's the way to do it. And then, so it's not spice for sake of spice. It's spice to add flavor. And when you're using those items, you're getting healthy at the same time. So we've added the sriracha, or you could substitute like you did. Brown sugar, two limes that are juiced, and about a half cup of hot water. You're going to find out the water is important in this. And then fresh cilantro, and we'll talk about the cilantro oil in a bit. But it's important to have a little hot water, because no matter what you're going to do by combining the soy sauce, the garlic chili sauce, the sriracha, brown sugar, lemon juice, it's still going to be too thick. That hot water is going to break down the peanut butter just a little bit. And you puree it until smooth. You just pour it into a dish. I put some chopped cilantro, and I drizzle a little cilantro oil over the top. You serve it with the chicken wraps. I mean, it cannot be any easier. And I don't even just say stop at the chicken. This will go with anything. I would serve this with those same kind of marinated flavors with a fish, like a salmon, and then serve the peanut sauce on the side. And there's so much to do.
And I think, and they do, you know, in Thai, there's a waterfall steak so-called waterfall steak that has the same type of flavor profiles. And as you said, absolutely fantastic with all kinds of seafood, a salmon or you know, if you're down near the coast, enjoying this, you know, spring break in Florida, get yourself a, you know, a nice grouper fillet, throw that
shrimp
out there.
Shrimp
would be great. And one of the things I wanted to point out, and I know you and I have talked about this in the past, is people see and they kind of freak out. Oh, it can't be a healthy recipe because it's got sugar in it. Hey, folks, it's 2 tablespoons, and you know, we are not drinking these like margaritas. So that's a little bit of sauce is going to go a long way. So the amount that you are getting is minuscule, but the properties, that little bit of sweetness is important. So it, you know, as we say in medicine, the poison's in the dose. This is a tiny, tiny dose. And not only that, when we use things like dark brown sugar, it's not like white sugar that is nothing more than sucrose, a glucose and a fructose molecule. Dark brown sugar has molasses, great source of things like manganese, magnesium. There's even some fiber components in there. So this is something that we definitely want to utilize. And again, that's one of the things that's great about this recipe. The flavor profile is great. And yeah, it's okay to use a little bit of sugar. But unlike the processed food, it's just not layer of sugar, salt, fat, and that's it. I mean, this thing is bursting. And one of the things I want to ask you when I was looking at this, you know, in Thai food, a lot of times they'll use the fish sauce instead of the soy sauce.
Right. So have
you done a variation with incorporating that? That's a little kind of a stronger flavor.
I think what I thought was lacking in here, and I never added it because when I first started looking at them, I didn't find a lot of them that had salt and pepper in their recipes. So I kind of like the soy. Let's be honest. I had the soy sauce right there, and I tried it, and I loved it. So, yeah, I could come up with something better. But now, you know what? That's what's great about when you're creating these recipes from something you've seen before. You look at them, and you go, hey, this is great, but I have this. Let me try it. As long as you're bringing that same, you know, from the soy or the fish, I need some backbone salt because it's not there. Here is where I'm bringing it. And especially if you do it organic peanut butter that doesn't have a lot of salt in it, you need to kind of balance those flavors. If you don't use an organic peanut butter, it's going to already have a lot of salt. Now you got to worry about putting too much salt into the dish. It becomes a thing you look at, you know.
And that's what you'll notice too. Having spent a lot of time, you know, in Japan and the Orient for other reasons, martial art reasons, you'll find that there is not a lot of salt added to that type of cooking because the salt is found in the soy sauce. And so I think that is an important point, that you don't have to do that because you'll have that salty flavor either from, you know, fish sauce or the soy sauce that you had. And one of the things that I did, I took your recommendation. I made this a pad thai. I used some rice noodles and then from the farmer's market, got a whole bunch of local fresh vegetables. Perfect. Just stir fry those babies up with a little bit of this peanut sauce. And it is another way to have a healthy dish. You know, you're avoiding the modern wheat. But you're getting a ton of, you know, the fresh local vegetables that are starting to appear in, you know, farmers markets as we hit, you know, different seasons.
This with a stir fry is absolutely incredible. The last part about this recipe I brought in from, you know, the roots that I do here at the restaurant. We do a cilantro oil all the time, and I love the fresh cilantro on top that kind of gives it the vibrance. But I like just this little touch of oil on almost everything as a finishing oil, like you talk about finishing salts. we talked about, just something that will finish it, give it some viscosity and give it some sheen, and just bring it all together. And I love like a cilantro oil, which is really simple to do. And I'll give you that real quick, where I take boiling water on the stove and I blanch the cilantro. It's really basically, it's not even a full boil. It's almost like a simmer. I blanch it in the water for about 10 seconds fully, make sure the leaves are in the water the whole time. And then I shock the cilantro, which is removing it into boiling water from the boiling water and adding it to an ice water bath. And basically it's going to brighten it up, bring out its flavor. It's going to be perfect. And then I dry it really well. And then in a blender with salt, white pepper, extra virgin olive oil, blend until it's smooth. And then I store it overnight. So that way I let the oil extract the flavors from the fresh cilantro. Next day I filter it through a coffee filter if you have a cheesecloth. And then I keep it till I need it. I use it almost on everything. If it's I'm doing a quick fish dish, or I just want to bring a little color to a plate, I mean, that's what I use it for a lot here. But I love having herb oils that I add to dish at the end. So it's
And this is a great technique that you can do with any herb that you get in season. It's a way to make it last longer. And when certainly, you know, you can tell when something's blanched, like you said, you throw it in that hot water, it'll turn sort of, if it's green, obviously that bright green,
right,
about 10 seconds. And you just see it real literally before your eyes. It'll just explode with that color. That's when you want to take it out, drop it in that ice bath and freeze it at that point in time. But you could do this, you know, and you can combine them, folks, too. You know, I do basil roasted poblano oil that I really like on a butternut soup that I do for the fall. So this is a great way, again, to build these flavor profiles, elevate your cuisine to that professional level, and do it without, and you know, just sugar, salt, and fat. You know,
right?
This is a simple way to do it. And as you said, each one of these things, you know, the chicken thighs, again, you could do that with fish. The peanut sauce we could put on different things. Each of these is a different component. And I always tell folks, hey, you know, what I want you to do is I want you to become a cook. I don't want you to become a recipe collector. Exactly. So my approach is how I used to teach the martial arts when I taught that is, we have a thing in Japanese, it's called the honwaza, or the basic. And that is the recipe. So master the basic. Once you're comfortable with the basic and you understand it and you understand these flavor profiles and how these components work together, then you can go out and do what we would call in Japanese the henka, or the variation. But you got to master the basic first. So follow that recipe, learn the principles. And this is a great recipe to start with, because there's so many sort of kitchen techniques that you learn here. And I absolutely love the herb oils.
And it's super simple, too. That's the big key. You'll see that with all my recipes. There's something that you can take and do. There's nothing that you'll look at and go, oh, I need a degree in culinary arts to do this. I never want to cook like that, because sometimes you get in the way of the food. And if you have good food, simple techniques, and these little ideas that you wouldn't normally think about, put all those together, you can make great food anytime you want.
And that's what I love about, which you've mastered so well and just conveyed to our audience, the essence of the Mediterranean diet. It's let the food speak, but get that high quality food. You know, the
right.
Folks in the old days in the Mediterranean, right, they went to the market, they got the fresh fish, you know, they got the fresh livestock, you know, and they would put it together with whatever they had that day. And that's this nothing overcomplicated.
It's absolutely the only way to eat, Mike. And you know what? If we could get back to that, you would see a lot healthier lifestyle, community, people exercising because they want to, not because they have to. It would be a different world, man.
and that's where we're headed. We're doing it one delicious meal at a time. That's why it's culinary CPR, right? We are resuscitating your life, and we're doing it right through your flavor, right through your taste buds. Hey, Luca, I want to thank you today. I know that you've got a big gig coming up, but just real quick, where can folks find you?
You can go to lucaparis.com or Facebook and Twitter, Chef Luca on both. And
ask me fantastic.